I am so glad to be with you guys today. I've been homeschooling for, well, I'm not homeschooling anymore, but I homeschooled my kids through high school for over 20 years, and I am a testament to it can be done. Is it easy? No, it's not easy, but it can be done. I am the wife of Dave. He and I have been married 30 years. We have three grown girls. They are 26, 23, and 20. And the last child is actually a senior here at GCU, just getting started on her senior year here. So it's kind of fun to be on her campus. And now I can say, hey, you know, I know where Antelope Gym is now, and I've been in the arena, and all the stuff that she doesn't want me to know about. So anyway, that's fun. But anyway, so who here has already actually made a decision to homeschool? Who just wants more information, but you know you're going to do this thing? Good. And the rest of you are kind of just seeking out information, which is good. It's very important that you do that. You want to know what you're kind of getting into as far as the legalities and those kinds of things before you start. All right, so before we dig into all the fun stuff and the questions, I'm going to go over some of the legal definitions, which is not the fun stuff, but you need to know it all. There are six education options in Arizona, and these are, I'm going to define them as they're put on the governor's website for the Education for Arizona School Choice. So public school is open enrollment in the state of Arizona. So you're not bound by a zip code. So you don't have to go to your neighborhood school wherever your zip code is. That was back in my day, that's what we had to do. You went to your neighborhood school, you had to go where you lived. In Arizona, the state law allows students to apply for admission to any public school based on available classroom space. Charter schools are tuition-free public schools. They were established to provide additional choices to families for learning environments that would improve student achievement. So you see charter schools, they may have, they're kind of like, they're on par with like a magnet school. You see some of them are very specific, you know, for math, for science, for the arts, you know, they're that kind of thing. But they were established to give parents yet another public school option. Arizona Online Instruction is basically computer-assisted learning platforms. You've probably heard of K-12. That's a national online public school virtual classroom, basically, is what that is. Private schools. Did you know in Arizona tax credits can go to your private school of choice? It can pay for, corporations can put it in there. So can individuals. You guys can put your tax dollars toward tuition, which are called STOs, school tuition organizations, and contribute to scholarships for private school students as well. And then we have the Empowerment Scholarship Account, or the ESA. These are accounts with 90% of the state funding that would have been received by the school for your child for the school that your child previously attended. It's kind of almost like a checking account. I think they give you a debit card or something like that where you can use it for therapies and those kinds of things, but that's something you apply for, and you have to qualify for that. And then, of course, we have homeschooling, which is why you all are here. AFI's mission is to inspire, promote, preserve, and support homeschooling in the state of Arizona. That's it in a nutshell. While this is our mission, AFI supports parent-directed educational options as well. We definitely uphold a parent's right to choose the best educational option for their child. We're all just trying to do the best we can for our families, are we not? And that's the bottom line. Do what's best for your family. Now, how is a homeschool defined in Arizona? Home education is best defined as parent-led, privately funded, relationship-based education of a child at home. Homeschool means a non-public school conducted primarily by the parent, guardian, or other person who has custody of the child, or non-public instruction provided in the child's home. Homeschoolers are parents or legal guardians who choose to educate their own children at home in at least the required subjects of reading, grammar, math, science, and social studies. And that's in Arizona Revised Statute 15802. There's a whole bunch of great great statutes and stuff. I can give you all that information. But if you just go to AFI's website, it's all there. It's much easier for you to go online and read all the law for homeschoolers. But that's it in a nutshell there. The thing that I really want to touch on is the relationship-based education of a child at home. You're definitely not just teaching your kids the three R's at home. You are teaching them relationships. I really, really believe in my heart of hearts that if I had not homeschooled, my three girls would not be the best friends they are today. And that said, any education option you choose is not going to guarantee an outcome. But we talk about that all the time at home. Like, how would that look differently? We know lots of families with grown children who don't really know each other. My kids pretty much know each other. So how do you choose what to teach your children? There's a great speaker coming up that's going to help you, that's going to talk about identifying your child's learning style. But that's the first thing you should really do. Identify your child's learning style, and that can help you choose the curriculum that works best for them. So, for instance, I bought a prepackaged curriculum. I used Sunlight with my first child. It was wonderful. It, you know, fit the bill. She did great with it. And then along comes the second child. Did you know your kids are all different? Who knew? My second kid hated it. Didn't want to do it. Didn't love it. We went through a year of, yes, you will do this. Yes, you will do this. This is what you're going to do. Until I realized, oh my gosh, this doesn't fit who she is or how she learns. And so I had to really switch things up. So that in mind, just know that if you pick something for your oldest child, it may not work with subsequent children. Again, my third child did a little bit of everything. She did great with Sunlight mostly, and then we kind of tweaked it a little bit. And that's the great thing about being in Arizona is you have the option to do those things. There are also some really good books on the market that can give you insight into that area of your child's learning style. There is an abundance of curriculum and resources available to homeschoolers today. Again, 20-some years ago when I started, we had a convention. It was big. There was lots of curriculum to choose from, but definitely nothing like what you guys have at your fingertips today. It is amazing what you have. Online, through co-ops and all kinds of things that are at your disposal. So it takes a little bit of research, but I can guarantee you you'll find something for your children to learn from. Again, Sherry touched on attending the convention. If that's something that you're not sure about, just know that it is a great resource. You can go look at everything, open books, talk to the vendors. They can help you decide on the things that will work best for your kids. They're very knowledgeable, and it's just a lot of fun. So you can research on the internet. You guys know that. You've probably done a little bit of that now as it is. Talk to other homeschooling parents. Join the Considering Homeschooling group on Facebook. We have a Facebook group AFI has, Considering Homeschooling. We have an AFI Facebook page. You can get all kinds of insight from our website. It's pretty concise, and you can get lots of answers there. Just even having discussions, using the search tools of questions people have asked before you, and that kind of thing. All right, so as stated previously, you're required by law in Arizona to provide instruction in reading, grammar, math, science, and social studies. What you specifically teach for each subject, when you teach it, how you teach it, what pace you move through it, is all up to you guys, okay? You can take 2 years and go through American history if you want to. A lot of that stuff is repeated, like you do a little concise American history when they're like in elementary school, and then you get more thorough as they get older, when they can handle more of that information. It's just really neat to see how their ideas bloom, how they are able to take in information, and how they learn the information that you're giving them. There are no minimum days required, no reporting or record keeping required, no immunization requirement, no specific graduation requirements, and no teacher qualifications to meet. So I'm going to repeat, you do not have to be a college graduate in the state of Arizona to teach your own kids ABCs. Isn't that something? You can sit down with your kid, get a workbook, read aloud to them, and teach them at your own pace. If there is something you don't feel comfortable teaching, it was science for me. My husband's an engineer, didn't have a lot of time to do science class with them. He did it in the younger years, but, you know, I didn't have a Bunsen burner in my kitchen, so I decided when they got older, we would do a co-op and do science classes that way. Those things are also available to you. In Arizona, there's no standardized testing requirement for homeschooled students, including the AIMS test or civics exam. You see a lot of those things, like finances, all the things that the public school high schoolers have to graduate. Those are not requirements for you all. It is available to you if you want to download a civics test and have your child take a civics test. That's great. Do it. I actually did standardized testing with my kids. I did not want them... Mine were college bound, yours may not be. I did not want them to come to college and not know how to take a test. Does that make sense? Like you just want to prepare them for whatever the future is for them. You don't want them to not know how to do something. You want to be able to prepare them for those things. But it is up to the individual parent or family whether to do standardized testing. Completely up to you. You don't have to do it. It's almost easier to say what is not required to homeschool in Arizona in that piece. How long should we spend doing school each day? Does anybody ever have that question where you go, am I going to sit here 8 hours a day at a kitchen table with my kids? No, you don't have to do any of that. During the younger years, you're done with academics in an hour to an hour and a half. That's basically what they do in school. If you think about it, all the waiting for their kids to get done with things, all the lines, all the, you know, the, okay. Whatever that was. Okay, now are you guys awake? Okay, so where was I? Oh, yeah, how long? So, yeah, so public school, they're basically doing a couple hours of academics in elementary school. You can do that sitting at your kitchen table. Seat work is nothing in those younger ages. Then as they get older, you give them a schedule, and you teach them how to manage their time. But that's completely up to you as a family, how you work that, how you work those things in. Play is very important when they're young. A lot of times I'll get questions like, you know, how do I choose a curriculum for my three-year-old? You don't. You go to Walmart, and you get coloring books and... You know, you give them Legos and Play-Doh. Do you guys do Play-Doh? There are some houses that ban Play-Doh, but we loved Play-Doh. So glitter was a whole other story. I had three girls and meh. Yeah, but you just, yeah, there you go. Glitter in the Play-Doh. That way it stays. But yeah, so you're just playing, you're exploring, you're doing those things as they're young, because that's how kids learn. They learn from playing and exploring. And I'm not saying you don't teach them anything. I'm not saying you don't show them, you know, what the ABCs are. You don't read to them. You don't do any of that kind of stuff. Of course, those are things that you're going to want to incorporate as well. But you have lots of time to do those things and explore with your kids. Homeschooling is more than an education option. It is a way of life. That was my mantra as I raised my kids. I kept thinking forward. What kind of adults are these people going to be? They may be 3, 4, 5 now, throwing fits in the middle of the target, you know, stuff like that. But all that ends. And then you have these adult people, and you want to see what kind of people you're going to send out into the world. And that's kind of what I looked at all those years, believe it or not. Is anyone here removing their child from another educational option to consider homeschooling, to do homeschooling? Okay. We did that once. We homeschooled kindergarten, sent poor Haley to first grade. She'll never let me forget that. We're actually doing a parent panel. She's going to be with me for that, like transitioning from school to homeschool, so that ought to be fun. Anyways, so if you're removing your child from another educational option to homeschool, there's no formal process or specific form that you have to complete, but we do recommend you notify your child's school principal or administration in writing if you are removing your child to educate them at home. You will register your child and complete the affidavit of intent to homeschool within 30 days of starting homeschooling for children ages 6 to 16. If you have a 5.5-year-old, you're not going to file an affidavit. They will just send it on back to you. So wait until your kid's 6th birthday. If you're pulling a child from high school and they're 17, you don't have to file an affidavit. You still kind of want to let the high school know what you're doing, though. You can delay formal education until the age of 8. Did you know that? But you still have to file an affidavit at age 6. You will not file an affidavit of intent to homeschool for your child if they are enrolled in a virtual public school at home option or they have an ESA contract with the state of Arizona. Like we went over the 6 options of education in the state, those aren't considered homeschooling, and only if you're homeschooling will you file that that affidavit. Now the good stuff. How do you file your affidavit? On our website at affi.org/az-law, there is an affidavit form. The one on the county websites asks you a few more questions that are not necessary for you to answer by law. Ours is very concise. It only gives them the information that they need to know. You will download the affidavit, fill it all out, one for each child. You will go sign it in front of a notary. So go to your bank, or if your sister's a notary or something, you will sign it in front of a notary and get it notarized. You will submit proof of birth. Yes, you have to send your child's birth certificate through the mail. I know a lot of people get scared about that, but I've never heard a story where they've lost a birth certificate in all these years. So you will have to send that through too. And you'll send that to the county, where right now, unfortunately, they're not. It's not just walk-in. You used to be able to just to go in and walk in. The Office of Maricopa County School Superintendent is currently only accepting homeschool affidavit filings online or by limited appointment, and you can go to their website right now and sign up for a slot if you want to deliver that in person. That's what we did. You know, we had just moved back here and then just took everything in person. They're very nice in there. They're really helpful. They give you a little packet and all kinds of good information about homeschooling. I want you to look at these numbers. I don't know how many people we have in here right now. Somebody, did you count? Okay, so we have 65 people in here. In 2019, there were 2,322 affidavit filings in the state of Arizona. In that same period in 2020, 6,306 affidavits were filed in the state of Arizona. I wonder what happened. So weird. I don't know why it was like such a jump. But anyway, 2020 compared to 21, it's still on track for those kinds of numbers. People are not happy with their school situations. They want better for their kids. We had schools open here, as far as I know. Some Arizona schools were open, were they not? Did any of you have your kids in school last year? So they were in school. Still, that online, sitting at a computer for, I don't even know how long kids were having to do that. You know, that has to be tough, especially if you're a parent, and that's not your curriculum or not anything you're teaching. You know, how are you supposed to deal with that? It's so much easier when you pick out what you're going to do with your kids, you understand the material, and you're the one guiding them through what you want them to learn. So you are not alone. All that to say is you are not alone. Okay? There are 65 of you in here. There are thousands more out there. There were an estimated 4.5 to 5.0 million homeschool students in grades K through 12 in the U.S. during March of 2021. That's 8 to 9% of school-age children. Some say it's even higher, as high as 11%, because there's really no perfect way to track our numbers. States are so different in the way that they track homeschoolers that it's really difficult to get an accurate estimate. But this is from the National Home Education Research Institute. Brian Ray leads that. He's a wonderful individual. He just, that's all he does is research homeschooling, and he's done it for 30 years. I heard him speak a long time ago at a little town in North Carolina when we lived there, and it was, he was just, he's just so into providing this stuff for you guys. So 2.5 million homeschool students in spring of 2019, that was about 3 or 4% of school-age kids. So you guys see how much this is growing. Even from when, you know, Sherry and I were homeschooling, when we first started, I wasn't threatened with jail like Zan Tyler was. She paved the way for all that, so I thank her for that, actually. I look at those pioneers and I just think, wow, like, those people are going to go to jail so they could keep their kids and teach them at home. And you guys have this amazing freedom now. But yeah, it's been growing exponentially. It's growing 2 to 8%, you know, every year. But then that huge jump because, again, who knows why in 2020. And you have about 40,000 of those kids being homeschooled right here in this state. Is that about an accurate number now? I mean, that's what I could find. So I think it's more than that. I do. I believe it's more than that. But that's the latest statistic I could find. So I figured that it was more at this point. This is my favorite question. Do you guys get this? You guys get your moms, like my mother-in-law? How will they ever have friends? You know, stuff like that. Yeah. So what about socialization? I just gave you a number, like 40,000 on up. People right here in this state are homeschooling their kids. I think they could find some friends, right? We have a very vibrant, active homeschool community. You have to seek that stuff out. It's not like sending them to school and they're on their own to make friends and do the after-school stuff. You guys as a family are having to actively seek those things for your kids. Find out what their interests are, connect them with the right people, the right groups, whether it's theater, music, dance, sports, you know, whatever it is, that's all up to us, and we have the freedom to do that, and we have so many activities available to us now, we're too busy, we can be too busy. So one job you have as a homeschooling parent is to look for those activities that will enhance your homeschooling journey, because you know how it is when you're busy as an adult. You get a little bit stressed out. So you need to learn to say no to the good stuff and the better things and then schedule the best things. And the whole socialization thing is out the window after last year, if you ask me. So, just saying. So the next time somebody asks you about that, just ask them what they mean by it. That's a really good retort, too. Like, what do you mean by socialization? On its face, it's getting along with all different age people. It's not just their peers, okay? Socialization is so they can get along with every human, any human. And that's what we want. So do you need to join an organization? You don't need to, but AFI's pretty great. AFI stands up for your legislative, for all the legislative issues that affect you. There are things all the time that you don't know that go on in the background of things, people, entities trying to take away homeschool freedoms. We're on top of all that stuff for you. We have a quarterly magazine, Homeschool Arizona, and we do periodic email updates. AFI membership's $35. That's, you know, 3 lattes or something. I don't know. My lattes must be expensive. I don't know. Your AFI membership supports an organization that serves Arizona homeschoolers all year long and is actively watching the legislation that may affect homeschooling freedom in your state. In our state. And I just want to point out the cover of the magazine I chose has my high school article in it, just so you know. Yeah, I didn't do that on purpose. I accidentally put it in there and my daughter was like, "Is that your article? Why did you put your magazine there?" I was like, "Oh, well, it's too late now, so I'm leaving it." All right, other organizations to consider. I still am a member of HSLDA even after I finished homeschooling. Homeschool Legal Defense Association is a nonprofit advocacy organization. He already left. TD was back. TJ was back there a minute ago. It's established to defend and advance the constitutional right of parents to direct the upbringing and education of their children and to protect family freedoms. So that said, they will have a booth at the convention in the hall. If you are here for that, make sure you go check out their booth in the vendor hall. Support groups. Again, this kind of points back to socialization, but a lot for you guys too. You don't want to just be like this lone island of homeschool. Maybe you do. I don't know. That's not a bad idea sometimes. But if you want to connect with other people, support group membership is pretty awesome. We have so many great support groups. Matter of fact, when Sherry was on the board, she was the support group liaison, and she just went out, she would talk to all those people and just give them encouragement, and they do a great job making sure that they are encouraging, and you guys need people to, you know, kind of build each other up, to edify each other, and equip each other on your homeschool journey. We maintain a list of homeschool support groups statewide as a reference. It's on our website, afi.org/resources, and you can see what groups are available in your area. Are you all from the Phoenix area? Someone outside of the Phoenix area here today? Okay. Yeah, so they're all over the different counties. We have different counties, lists of different support groups. Not that you really need this information. So what do you need to do if you terminate your homeschool? So if you're going to homeschool this year and you just decide, this isn't good for my kid, you know. If you enroll your child in a public school, charter school, virtual public school, or private school, the parent or legal guardian must notify the county school superintendent within 30 days of termination of homeschooling, and you will do that in writing. Should you decide to enroll your child in a public school after they've been homeschooled, the school will test your child to determine the grade level placement. That's codified in our laws here. So if you are teaching your child who may be a fourth grade student, but they're doing fifth grade work, they're still going to test them and probably put them in fourth grade. There's a running joke in the homeschool families, like you ask a kid what grade they're in and they would just stand there, I don't know, you know, because we didn't ever really use grades per se until maybe high school because they kind of wanted to know when they were going to graduate. So it was kind of funny that, you know, you kind of have to give them that information as far as, you know, grade level placement and those kinds of things if you're going to put them back in school. And this, the fine print, listen carefully. If a public high school will not accept homeschool credits toward an accredited diploma issued through that school, we've heard many sad stories of families who enrolled their previously homeschooled student in a public high school in 10th, 11th, or 12th grade and were told they had to enroll as a freshman in order to go to school, in order to get their diploma. So really look at that, those high school years and plan on it. Because if you backtrack and they're a senior, they're going to have to start over in a public school as a freshman. That's just the way that it is. So make sure that you, I'm not trying to scare you, I'm just trying to tell you how it is. But make sure that you really look into that carefully if you decide to terminate your homeschool. And lastly, of course, let us help get you started. We're happy to assist you at the start of your homeschool journey here in Arizona. We really love the families here. We want to help you. We are here to answer all of your questions. I will be around all weekend long. I'm doing this talk again tomorrow. I'm on a couple parent panels, but I'll be kind of floating around. If you have questions for me, please stop me and ask me. I'll try to answer them the best that I can. I'm, as you can tell, chatty. I'm happy to answer and help you guys decide, make a decision. It can be a very daunting decision, staying home with your kids. You think you might wreck them. You think they're going to wreck you. So you just want to, you know, if you want to just vent, you want to talk, you want to chat, you have a question, you want to buy me a $10 latte, because I guess that's what they cost. I'm kidding. I'm happy to answer any questions and have a chat with you. So, at that, Sherry can come back up. Thank you all for being so attentive. Thank you.